Bless the word. The word. We waited all week to hear from you. Now, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Keep us in the moment. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Robert, I want to thank you for sharing your gifts with us this morning. For those who are joining with us via the internet, I'd like to welcome you to the Fallbrook Church and trust that you would become a regular with us. There are some things that I will say to our listening audience that's somewhat local in its scope. I hope you will bear with me when I do from time to time. This particular day, our Pathfinders have had a program of investiture and welcoming new members. And so my message for the next few minutes, at least the first part, I thought would be somewhat directed to something maybe would be of interest to Pathfinders. I would ask those of you who are here to kind of put your thinking caps on and maybe stay with me, recognizing that I'm speaking, trying to speak to a particular group. Also, I would like for you to keep in mind that I am honoring one of the things that I said that I would do, that each quarter I would try to have a message on the second coming and also on the Sabbath. So this is the Sabbath for the Sabbath message. I'm honoring that. So I wanted to share that with you. If you're a guest, you've not been to the Adventist Church before, our reason, or my reason, for preaching about the Sabbath, I was not waiting for you to get here so that I could dump this message on you. I think it was important that our young people who come after us and of the church, not just of the future, but the church now, understand very clearly why we're here, why we worship on Saturday, the seventh day, and the importance of the Sabbath. I think we need to keep that important heritage of the church. Can you say amen? The message is entitled Time Travel. I'd like to say something about that first word, time. There's no way that I'm going to be finished in 10 minutes. So take that time out of your mind. I'll be finished when I'm finished. Amen? Time Travel. May the 7th, 2005, a very unusual convention was held. Included in the as speakers were Edward Ferrari and Alan Guth, V.F. Weisterkopf. All of these were professors of physics at MIT. Also, as a speaker was Eric Domain, who was assistant professor of electrical engineering and computer science at MIT. They had a unique prop at this convention. It was a DeLorean. If some of you may have seen the film Back to the Future, you know what I'm talking about. You see, this convention was the Time Travelers Convention. I'd like to read with you what they posted on their web. I'd like to read to you. They say, unfortunately, we have no confirmed time travelers who have visited us. Yet many time travelers could have attended incognito to avoid endless questions about the future. If you are from the future, There is no dress code that you have to worry about. But would you bring proof that you've come from the future? We welcome things like a cure for AIDS or cancer, solution for global poverty, or if you have the answer to cold fusion reactors, that would be particularly convincing and would be greatly appreciated. Time travel. Can we travel in time? According to Einstein's theory of relativity, time slows down as we approach the speed of light. So many scientists believe that if you travel faster than light, you could open up the possibility of time travel. You could go back, or you could go forward. I want you to take just a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to turn to the person next to you, someone around you, someone near you. Even if you don't know them, I want you to talk to them anyway. Is that all right? Sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable when the ministers ask us to do that. I want you to answer this question. If you could travel in time, would you go back or forward? And what would you go there for? You understand what I ask you? If you could travel in time and you could go back or forward, which way would you go and why would you go? Talk to the person next to you, and I'm going to come out and ask a couple people what you said. Talk to the person next to you. You should be able to answer that. Would you go back or forward? So you go forward. Okay. That's fine. Steve, would you go back or forward? Where would you go to? Yeah. Why would you go back? To do it right. Yeah. How far back would you go?
20 years.
20 years. Judy, you go back or forward?
Forward.
You went forward? Good answer.
Cool.
Did you hear what she said? Go back to Jesus coming. That's a good answer. Amen. Jen, where would you go? Back or forward? Back? You're too young to go back. Just teasing. Where would you go back to? You're not sure? How about you, Mindy? Go back or forward? Oh, she said she'd go back to when Jesus was born. You know why I said I would go back in the first service? I would go back a week before my mother died, and I'd spend that week with her instead of being there at the base, if I could go back. That was my answer. Intriguing. Traveling in time. Who wouldn't want to travel either back or forward? They say one way that you can travel, possibly, if you could somehow link up with a black hole. You know what a black hole is? Stars that they burnt out and they collapse by the pressure of their own weight. And when they burn out and they collapse, the implosion creates such a gravitational field that anything that comes near the black hole is sucked in. And on the boundaries, they call that event horizon. So if you get sucked in, maybe you could come out the other end and travel into time. That's what scientists say. Another is a way of traveling through time is through wormholes. Now, wormholes are structures are like tunnels. You may have heard them called the Einstein-Rosen Bridge. And this would allow traveling at the speed of light instantly. It's based on Einstein's also theory of relativity. That you can bend or curve any mass. In fact, they used a wormhole example of how we might be able to travel into time. If you take a sheet and you stretch it out, and if you were to get a baseball and put the baseball on the sheet, guess what happened? The weight of the baseball would roll to the center of the sheet and would curve the sheet. So the curving helps you to get there quicker. He says somehow if you could curve things, you'd get there a lot quicker. And they said that you could travel into time. Now, I'd heard of black holes, I heard of wormholes, but I hadn't heard of this one. You can travel through time by the means of cosmic strings. Have you heard that one? Cosmic strings. They are particles that are smaller than atoms that generate great gravitational pull on any object that gets near them. And that if an object could somehow attach itself to the cosmic strings, it could travel at incredible speeds. So if you take two strings and put them close together and attach your vehicle to it, that you could travel as a time machine. Gee, you're smart, Pastor. How did he know all of that? I thought he was a minister. Well, I went on How Stuff Works on the web. And they'll tell you all of that. But you know what I found fascinating about time? That a God who has no beginning or end, an infinite God, would be interested in time. And after God created everything, the story, the account in Genesis chapter 1, guess what he created? A space and time for us called the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? A God who is infinite would be thinking about us. So he comes up with something in time, the seventh day. You're familiar with the passage. Isaiah read it. I'm not going to read it again. Someone said this about the Sabbath. Sabbath is a time to stop, to refrain from being seduced by our desires, to stop working, to stop making money, to stop spending money. Hallelujah. See what you have. Look around. Listen to your life. Then at the end of the day, when there's a desperate yearning to consume, to shop, to buy what we don't need, it dissolves. Little by little, it falls away. God created the Sabbath so that we could rest. We are an overstimulated society. We find new and unique ways of cramming more stuff into 24 hours. Even ministry is a challenge. In fact, all professions are a challenge because our world has become a rat race even more. We are on call 24 hours a day. Lou, you don't know how accurate your story was with those cell phones. You hear them going off in church. Amen? We even have a little blurb at the beginning of the bulletin telling you to turn off your cell phone. You know, you can go anywhere around the world and people will be able to get in touch with you. We're on call 24/7. That challenges us regarding the Sabbath. We're challenged today more than ever before, our Sabbath. We used to be able to rest on Sabbath. Amen? Not anymore. We're on call 24/7. Between cell phones and faxes and emails and overnight delivery, you are at the disposal of the world. When I was on leave, still in the military for a couple of weeks, that was before you could access your email from anywhere. I was just gone 2 weeks and came back and had 650 messages in my box. And I was just a chaplain. We are inundated by so much. I know many don't look at television anymore. I have a television, but it's no longer fun, no longer entertainment, because I have the clicker going like that because of 500 channels. Come on, y'all can say amen. You know it's true. Don't act like you've never done that. Come on, don't try and play holy. If you got a TV, you know you've done that, all right? Because there's so much. It's not even entertainment anymore. According to the National Sleep Foundation, more than 100 million Americans do not get enough sleep. I know I'm getting in a lot of your case today when I said that, right? 40% get less than 6 hours a night. And they're so sleepy that they can't even do their jobs right. And stress is the number one cause for poor sleep. God created the Sabbath so that we could rest. After God created it all, He pronounced it very good. And we're doing everything in our power to make sure it's not. We're challenging the Sabbath. Sabbath keepers are challenging the Sabbath. God has set in motion a rhythm, the weekly cycle. So that we could take time to rest. That's what makes ministry such a challenge. It makes preaching such a challenge. And that's why I need to stop in about 5 minutes. Because many of you are so tired, you can hardly get through what I'm talking about. I know that, and I don't take it personal. Because when I sit there, and I've sat in that spot for years, I've been challenged as preachers preach. That's why I will occasionally walk from the pulpit and walk down the aisle. That'll wake a couple of people up. Because if I got close to you, you're not sure if I'm going to ask you a question or not. We know that. I know that it's because we're tired. The Sabbath, God meant for us to rest. And then God meant for us the Sabbath to be for holy living. Amen? But you know, when I think about holy living, you know what challenges me? I think of holy living has to do with my doing. And I certainly want you to do what's right on Sabbath. But you know what it's really about? It's about being in contact with a holy God. You see, the Sabbath is holy because God made it holy. Amen? Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. We all remember that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know what I think would be a tragedy? For us to come Sabbath after Sabbath and never meet our holy God. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wouldn't it be a tragedy to meet on Sabbath and not know our holy God? You say, what in the world does this have to do with time travel? You have lost me. I told you to stay with me, didn't I? Let me connect the dots. The Sabbath links us with past, present, and future. But the area that challenges me the most is the present. How do I stay in the moment? How do I come here on Sabbath this day, today, and get the blessing that God has for me? How do I do that when my mind is thinking back in the past of all the things I should have done? Or how do I do that when my mind is thinking in the future and I'm thinking about all the things that I have to do? And that's how we operate. We go back and forth to the past, I should have done this, to the future, I got to do this. And so we come here waiting for the service to be over, because we got so many things to do. How do we stay in the moment? That's how I'm challenged. You don't have that a problem. I had a problem. I'm challenged by that. There is something. In the whole study of time that intrigued me, it's the idea of paradox. They say that if you travel into time, preferably backwards, and there's something called the grandfather paradox, so I figure it must be pretty well known if they named it as such, that if you went back in time, and for some reason you killed your ancestor, stay with me now, then how could you go back in time, because now you no longer have been born? Y'all didn't get that. Did that get by you? It creates a paradox, because your family is no longer existed because you killed them. So you can't be alive. And it just creates a number of paradoxes. I got a paradox myself. Have you ever been on vacation and all you can think about is the work that's waiting for you? You can't even enjoy your vacation. You ever done something and said, and spent all day worrying about the thing that you did wrong, and there was no way you could go back into the past to correct it? You're not challenged like that. I am. We need to learn to embrace the blessings of the Sabbath for today. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'll say it now. Sometimes when I come to church, when I worship, it has to do with what I do as a minister. I look at things so critically that I miss my blessing. There's a blessing there and I miss it, because I see one thing and I get locked in on it. And if I get back home, you know what I talk about? Not the blessing. I talk about the one thing that was wrong that I didn't like. You don't have that problem. I got that problem. I'm challenged in the moment. How do I accept the blessing right now? What do you take out of this service? Or did we just waste an hour and 15 minutes of your time? Is there a blessing in this
Can you rest on Sabbath? Can you get away from your job for an hour and 15 minutes?
The Sabbath links, forms a link in time like no other link. The Sabbath was at creation. We see the Sabbath again at the when Jesus rested in the tomb. And we are going to see the Sabbath and worship on the Sabbath in the earth made new. It is going to stretch through time. How do I know? Isaiah 66. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, and that new heaven and new earth, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. How many are going to be there? Let me see your hand. How many plan to be there? I mean, really plan to be there. Are you serious? Can you embrace that blessing? Now you can time travel. Now you can set your mind to the future. Oh, how I long to be there one day. I have one question to ask as I close. If you could be anywhere right now, where would you be? I hope you said right here. That's the right answer. Because that's in the moment. God wants to bless you right now, right where you are. Do you believe that? Let's pray. Wonderful, loving God, infinite God, no beginning, no ending, but in your love, you outline a space of time called the Sabbath, the seventh day. Lord, we need it more than ever. Because the Sabbath is a space and time where we meet with you like no other. Thank you, Lord, for the music, for the prayers, for the pathfinders, for the singing, for the praise team, for the offering, for the kneeling in prayer, for the intercession, for the invocation, for the fellowship, and for your presence. Bless us. Join our hearts together. For we are going to be joined throughout all of time in the earth made new. To that end, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.